And if there's any boys and girls that want some extra, I have a few extra little lights that you can have. So just see me afterwards. Turning to John chapter 8. Last week, we talked about Jesus, the bread of life, who sustains us for everything that we need. And this week, he is the light of the world. We're going to read beginning at verse 12 of John chapter 8. It's on page 1662 in your pew Bibles. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Hear this, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing to us as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from, and I know where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself, and my other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Congregation of Jesus Christ, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Darkness, total darkness, if you've ever experienced that in one way or another, it can be quite intimidating. It's thick. You can almost feel the heaviness of it. So dark, as I said, where you can't see your hand in front of your face, and then you hear sounds at night and you wonder where it's going, or you try to make your way through and you bump into things for sure. It's foreboding. It can be a moment in time. It can also be a season. In the Middle Ages, it's called the Dark Ages. Between the year 500 and 1500, it was known as the Dark Ages because it seems like learning has ceased and people just wandered around. There was war, there was disease, there was death, and despair reigned. Many years ago, 700 years before Jesus came into the world, Isaiah prophesied, and he was living in a time that can only be described as blackness as well. It was kind of like a suffocating time in his life, a hopelessness there among the people who were now going into exile. And Isaiah calls them. I love Isaiah 60. It's one of my favorite Isaiah chapters on light. Here's what Isaiah says in verse 2, "Behold," or "look, darkness has covered the earth, thick darkness, the people." The people in exile, of course, had abandoned the Lord. Part of what they had experienced was because of their disobedience to God. They refused to walk in the light that he gave them. And now they were experiencing the consequences. Unjust as it were, a nation came in and started overpowering them and dictating to them where they should live and how they should live. And their situation just seemed hopeless and bleak. And yet, in Isaiah 60, he sees a day. He says, there's coming a time when the light will dawn, when the whole world would be illuminated, and nations would see the light and be drawn to it. A day in which God's people, sons and daughters, would be called from afar and they would come back to the light of their Lord and Savior. And their hearts in coming back would radiate, would reflect the light that they were coming to. And their hearts would be filled with joy. It says in Isaiah 60, it's throbbing with joy. It began this whole thing, arise, shine, for your light has come. Isaiah was looking in the future, but he was speaking as if it were already happening now. That's the beautiful thing about this. He was so certain that this light was going to come that it's your possession already. Lean into it. Enjoy it. Now, he says, is the day of waiting. Now is the time. 700 years. That's a long time to wait in the darkness, right? Like, we don't like, you know, 2 hours. When the lights go out, you're calling the power company right away and saying, you know, what's happening? And yet, you think 700 years. That's longer than we have been in existence as the United States of America. A lot longer, almost triple that time. I'm not very good at math, so don't quote me on that. But after 700 years, we have the benefit of looking back and saying, along comes Jesus. And the hope that Isaiah had longed for and pointed to, Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I'm going to repeat that, but I want you to hear it. If you hear nothing else in this message this morning, hear this loud and clear. Whoever follows me, says Jesus, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Here in a relatively few words, Jesus is making an incredible claim this morning. And he's issuing an incredible promise for each one of us. The claim is, Jesus is the light of the world. And the promise is, if you follow Jesus Christ, you will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we're going to, in our time remaining, let's talk about it a little bit. Probably I'm going to use this phrase, I am the light of the world. I'm going to start with that little phrase, the world, because that's where we live. That's us, honestly. I am the light of the world, says Jesus, and I'm shining in the darkness. Our environment is darkness. What is darkness like? Remember that pillar of light that I was telling the boys and girls about? Did you know when that first appeared to Israel was when they were getting ready to cross the Red Sea? And there was that beam of light, and the Israelites could see it very clearly. On the other side of that light, the Egyptians, they were confused. They were lost. They could not see the light that was apparent in their midst. I think that talks to us a little bit about the hiddenness of God. There are times in life where darkness is a description of what we may feel, that God is not with me. The most notable example, of course, for us who know the Bible is Job. He felt abandoned by God in his suffering. He describes his experience in terms of gloom and darkness as cloud. He said, God has turned his face from me. Sound familiar? Fast forward, Jesus hanging on the cross. And he cried out in the darkness, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that was in the midst of a darkness that came over the whole world. That wasn't a real, just a metaphor, it was, but it was dark. It was a dark time. God seemed to have turned his face, and when God turns his face away, there is darkness that we experience. So darkness is the hiddenness of God, but it's also a metaphor for a sinful lifestyle. It's a way of life that sees the light, knows the light, but chooses willfully not to follow the light. Paul in Romans chapter 13 exhorts the reader, put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of life. In other words, wear the light so that wherever you go, you can see where you need to go. Ephesians 5, same kind of a thing, he says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. How do you expose dark deeds? Let your light shine. So that's another way in which we use darkness. Darkness is also a description of a malevolent evil. It's a satanic kind of an evil, a power, a darkness that holds people, families, groups, nations under its sway, keeps them in darkness. Ephesians 6, verse 12, I'm just going to use a couple references. There are so many references to this, but Paul says, our struggle is not against the powers of this dark world, but against the forces of evil in the heavenly realms. John chapter 12 refers to Satan as the ruler of this world, indicating his influence over the darkness. Colossians chapter 13 speaks of God rescuing believers from the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of light he brings them. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 states that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. That represents a spiritual darkness. You better believe if it happens to individuals, if you cannot see the light, you are under the sway of darkness. It's the case with the world. Nations that do not, will not see the light are in darkness. The Bible is very clear. Not only that we live in darkness, but here is the rub. This is what we need to take to heart. We as fallen human beings prefer the darkness. We would rather live there. That's part of our fallen nature. John says it this way in John 3, verse 19. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light. Why? Their deeds are evil. If a man or a woman is held captive by evil, they will do evil and they will hate the light. It's very clear in the night that Jesus was betrayed. Remember that little scene where he said, someone is in this room is going to betray me. And of course, it was Judas. He shared the bread with him. And Judas, it says at that moment, Satan entered his heart. And he went out. And then it finishes with this phrase, and it was night. It was night. I am mindful of the fact that when God looks out on this congregation, on us, he sees only two kinds of people, those who are in the darkness and those who are in the light. I ask you, which one of those are you? Which one of those am I? Now, in Jesus' time, in this encounter that we read briefly today, we have said that every I am statement that Jesus is going to express, there is going to be opposition. The light is right there, and they're going to oppose him. And I can imagine that even those who took exception to Jesus in those days, there's an echo of that in our lives as well. What are you talking about? Why do I need the light? It's almost like these little lights. What's the point of, you know, if I said, hey, I'm giving a special sale on flashlights, and you're looking around at this bright light and saying, I don't need that flashlight. What are you talking about? I can see perfectly fine. This message is good for sinners. Have you already found two or three people that really need to hear this message? It's good for them, for people that make bad choices, for those who are just making one bad choice after another. But me, I'm fine. That's what the Pharisees said as well. They could not see the light, and they were not fine. And I need to break it to us again. You're not fine. I'm not fine. We need the light. The truth is, we love ourselves more than God. We love ourselves more than our neighbors. We break God's law constantly. We can't control our temper. We're thinking filthy thoughts. We live in darkness. We prefer darkness. That's way maybe why we find church going to church so boring and irrelevant. And maybe you're here today because somebody has forced you to be here today, but you would rather not be here. You're here because maybe you're just putting in your time. I just want to have a little bit of religion in my life, we might say. That's darkness. The greatest problem is not the preacher, that his sermons are boring and long. Though that can be a problem, and I need to work on that. The problem isn't the fact that you've had a sad childhood, that your mom or your dad did things to you when you were a kid, and now you're suffering as a result of that. Although, that does speak loudly as well, too. I'm saying here that the basic truth is that we love darkness. We justify our own sins, while it's so easy to see the sin in others. You know, if you're in a relationship and a person does something that is wrong, you say, that person's a sinner. But when you are that person that does something wrong, you say, like, well, I made a mistake. Okay, that's darkness. Okay, am I making you feel bad enough? We've got to get to the good part. The light that shines must be received, and that's the problem. John says, just to summarize this whole sad section of darkness, true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. They could not see the light standing right there in front of them. Oh, if only they saw, if only they knew. Paul describes it like this. They knew God, but they neither glorified him nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. There it is. They're darkened since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. And he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Kind of like Gollum in The Lord of the Rings. He just learned to love the darkness more and more as years went by. All right. Jesus says, into this darkness I come. Here's the hopeful news that we need to look to and cling to. The message is absolutely clear. Darkness indeed does cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. And the darkness is over you and me, but lift up your eyes, dear people, and see the glory of God. Paul says to the Colossians, you have been rescued. You have rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Someone has come and plucked you. If you are a believer in Christ, you have been plucked out of this darkness. You're brought into the kingdom of light. He writes in Ephesians the same way. Once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. The religious leader in Jesus' day showed their allegiance. They were obstinate. They opposed Jesus. They raised all kinds of objections. They wanted him to prove himself. When he said, I testify, my Father testifies, and I testify, there you have your two witnesses. They didn't believe. They misunderstood what he was talking about because their minds were deceived. They were blind. By the end of this account, if we were to read all the way to verse 37, Jesus says, I know that you're looking for a way to kill me. I know that because you have no room for my word. And you are unable to hear what I say because you belong to your father, the devil, and you do not belong to God. It is not a coincidence, but by this, the end of this account, that they tried to kill him. They were picking up rocks. And why? Because he said that statement, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And so he was claiming to be God himself. Now, if you are the light, if you are in the light by God's grace, then the question is, how are we living? It's not difficult to understand Jesus as he says, I am the light of the world. He says, I'm speaking to those who are in darkness. By nature, we are dark. We do not follow Jesus Christ. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And Jesus says, but if you follow me, if you come my way, I will be a light to you. It's going to make a difference. It's going to change your heart and life. You can't go on living in the darkness and add just a little bit of light of Jesus. You can't just keep coming here once a week and say, I need my time with Jesus. It's a radical heart change. My favorite passage in the New Testament, I don't know why, but I've always resonated with John chapter 9. In the context of this very passage, a man has been blind all his life. Can you imagine that? Never seeing the light of day, only imagining what the world would be like. And then he came to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ took up a little mud, put it on his eyes, and said, now go wash yourself. He did that, and he saw. That's a beautiful description. His life was changed. And we know it was changed for sure because then the Pharisees opposed him and they said, you are lying. Tell us really, what did this man do? What kind of trickery did he perform to make you see? And the man said, I don't know. I don't know who this man was. Here's my testimony. I was blind, but now I see. I see. Every encounter that a person in darkness has with Jesus, the light of the world, is going to make a difference. If they can't tell, if they can't tell that your life is different, then I'm wondering a little bit if you have really seen the light. We can be dangerously close to the life so much that we know every word that Jesus proclaims. We can say it inside out. But if our life is not radically changed, then we're still walking in darkness. Paul said to the Philippians, I want to remind you that you are shining like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. It amazes me with how many times light and the word are connected. How do we have an encounter with Jesus Christ? It's going to come through his word. That's why we need Bible study. That's why we need to be students of the Bible from the earliest moments in our life until the day that we die. We need to be in that word of God. We need to be reading it and trying to understand it more and more. Not just so that we can be known as moral people, but so that when people look at us, they see the light of Jesus shining in us and through us, wherever it is that God calls us to go. In whatever circumstance we find ourselves, we need to be reflecting the light of Jesus Christ to the world. Jesus not only said, I am the light of the world, he said to his followers, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deed and not say, oh, what a wonderful, moral, great person you are. I wish I could be like you. If they say that, We're not shining, reflecting the light that they need to be seeing. They need to be saying, I see your life and I see Jesus Christ coming through, shining through loud and clear. See, Jesus is relocated now. He went to heaven, but his light continues to shine in the darkness. We must not hide our light. We need to show it to the world. We must not compromise on the truth, pretending to be in the light on Sunday, but then living our lives any way we choose. We don't want to hide our light. We don't want to take the shine off of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but when I preach to myself this message, I'm like, man, I need help. I need help. My witness for Jesus Christ sullies his glory so many times, and I need God to help me. People need to hear of God's amazing love. They need to have somebody unpack the story of the gospel for them. Maybe you say, I'm not a Bible scholar. I don't know the Bible inside out. I get all messed up when I witness, but still, witness we must. Got to do better in witnessing. People need to see us following Jesus no matter what's going on in our life. They need to see that Jesus is the light. Our light. The distinction is very clear. The Egyptians on one side could not see an obvious light. God's people on the other side could see exactly where God needed to go. Do you walk in darkness? Ask yourself honestly. Do you walk, or are you in the light of the Lord? Are you finding your own way in this world? Or are you walking in the light of Jesus Christ? I pray that we all may come to the light, receive the light, and reflect the light even better today than we did yesterday. Would you join me in prayer? Oh, Jesus, light of the world, thank you so much for shining in our darkness. For shining the light of your word on us so that your glory can be seen and displayed. Darkness indeed is covering the earth. Darkness is the environment in which we live. We pray that your light will rise upon us, that your glory may appear, so that nations will come to the light of your words and people will be drawn to the brightness of your coming. Help each one of us, each boy, each girl, each man, each woman gathered here today, help us to lift our eyes, to hear you speak, to listen with open hearts to your gospel and empower us to respond to your word with obedience. To so let our light shine that wherever we go, people can see the light reflected and come to the light that is in Jesus alone. This we pray in your precious name by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen. Well, let's let our light shine in the giving of our tithes and our offerings. God has given us so much, and this morning we have an opportunity to give.